Join us for the second annual AFA at the Arc.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members at AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers and Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Arc. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. The Lord says, "Whoever touches Israel touches the apple of his eye." We are seeing an unprecedented sweep of anti-Semitism going across America and across the world. And with this war in Gaza, taking on now its seventh month from October 7th, when Hamas brutally and evilly attacked Israel and killed innocent civilians and killed them in the most brutal and horrifying way. And then, as I saw today, somebody posted, you know, Gaza wanted to release the hostages and to declare a peace treaty on the 9th. You know, you don't get to destroy somebody on the 7th and then say, "Oh, we're sorry, here are all your hostages back, and let's just be friends," 2 days later. It doesn't work like that. But now Israel's being accused of genocide. President Biden has talked about delaying shipments of arms to Israel because of their advancement into Rafah, and countries and students and are all decrying Israel. Israel's terrible. Israel's committing genocide. So what is the real story with Israel? What are we to make of all this? Now, to help me with this discussion is my good friend and the leader of the Discovery Ministries, the founder and the president, author, speaker, Pastor Gary Frazier. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hey, Jeff. Great to be with you, buddy. Always a pleasure.
I appreciate you, my friend. And so you have your finger on the pulse of Israel as well as anybody I know. And so are you surprised at what we're seeing these days?
Well, Jeff, the truth of the matter is I'm not surprised. And I want to tell both our listeners exactly why that is. You know, when we study the Word of God in its entirety, and that's all 66 books of the Bible, if not picking and choosing, and we see that that one quarter of all Scripture has a prophetic implication or prophetic message. And one of the things that we've come to understand as students of Scripture is that while we do not believe in progressive inspiration, in other words, we believe God said everything He wants to say to us in these 66 books. So that simply means the Book of Mormon is out. Any other book, et cetera, that tries to usurp the authority of the Word of God is out. This is the Word of God. Having said that, we do believe in what I would call progressive illumination. And that simply means that we are able to look at the Word of God and look at the world in which we live and to understand things that previous generations could never really comprehend or understand. So we are positioned, and I know that many of our listeners may disagree with this, and mainly it's because they don't want to come to grips with reality, but we are positioned in the end of the end of time. And one of the key indicators is that the whole world is turning against the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. And I would just simply say to our listeners, there are two words they need to keep in mind, and those words are frequency and intensity. Because Jesus himself in Matthew 24 told us that the closer we get to his return, that these things would be like the birth pains and so forth, and that's frequent and with more frequency and greater intensity. And so that's what we're seeing today. We're actually witnessing today a yet another, and not the final, I want to say that, but another attempt by Satan to completely eradicate the Jewish people from the face of the earth. And by the way, Jeff, this has been tried before. You know, Pharaoh tried it, didn't work out real well for him. Hitler tried it, in the 30s and 40s didn't work out well for him. But Satan has never given up on his idea or plan to destroy the Jewish people, and there is yet another attempt that will take place during the most horrific days in the history of the world, and that is the tribulation period, which is coming in the not-too-distant future. And so what we're witnessing today is we have the satanic, and I want to be clear about this, the satanic religion of Islam, where Islamic instigators, Islamic preachers are preaching hate. They are leading a bunch of useful idiots on college campuses or across this country to scream and shout for the total genocide of an ethnicity. Jeff, can you imagine what would happen in America if these people were screaming, kill all the blacks, kill all the Mexicans, kill all the Asians? I mean, the people would be going crazy. And yet, passively, they stand by up to and including this double-talking person who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They just stand by and watch as this happens, and they see Israel as the problem in the world. Mm-hmm. What a distorted, unbelievable view that people have today. And yet, you know, it's not just the college students that we see among this and professors and so forth. There are literally thousands of American people who literally are in the process of turning against the Jewish people. And my question is, for what reason exactly? I mean, tell me exactly what the Jewish people have done. Oh, do you mean they have defended the slaughter of innocents and gone after those perpetrators who cut the heads off of babies and stuck their torsos in ovens and burned them alive? They're going after the people that raped and killed their women and their men and their kids and so on. Oh, so that's what they've done. Oh, excuse me for being a person who has common sense. So that's kind of where we are, and I don't anticipate this situation getting better in the near future.
Well, I had seen, Gary, something from a guy named Suleiman Ahmed, and he said Hamas offered to release all civilian hostages on October 9th. Israel refused. This was never about the hostages. And I just commented, I said, Hamas is unspeakably evil and a malignant cancer that will continue to burn, behead, rape, kill, and destroy. Appeasement's not an option when you're facing that kind of evil. Unless we forget, what shocks me is, like, do you not remember what happened on October 7th? And, you know, Israel is defending itself, and it is trying to eradicate Hamas off the face of the earth, which it needs to be. And so, I don't understand why people are reacting toward Israel the way they are. We would, if somebody did to America what was done to Israel, I think Americans would probably rally together and say, we need to destroy that enemy.
No question about it. We've done it in the past. We would do it again. Well, I say we would. I'd like to think that we would. I don't really know today. Washington has become a very strange place. I don't know anymore that they would even stand up for us. You know, we're on the verge on May 27th of turning over, relinquishing our First Amendment rights to the World Health Organization to declare a pandemic that it can shut us down as individual American citizens. But this is being done by a foreign power. Washington has become a place where common sense simply does not exist any longer, nor does that's the group that's in charge. They do not love America. This is all part of a syndicated, well-structured, well-funded program by George Soros and others, Bill Gates, et cetera, the World Economic Forum, and so forth, and we could go on. But the bottom line here is this. Jesus Christ is coming soon. And what we're seeing is all of this just leads up and plays into the prophetic word of God. You know, I had an interesting conversation a few days ago, Jeff. I was at the golf course, and one of the young ladies who worked at the halfway house there, I just said, are you a college student? And she said, yes. And I said, what do you think about what's happening on the campuses around the country, all these demonstrations? And she looked at me like a deer caught in the headlights, and she said, I don't really know. I don't listen to the news. I don't watch that. I don't pay attention to it. And I thought, my goodness, this is a college student who will be graduating, who will be in the workforce in a part of our culture, and totally disengaged from it. Mm-hmm. And you know, that reminded me of the 1936 of around 1936 in Germany. The Germans' position was, as long as they go after the people who are deformed, or as long as they go after the people who have mental issues and so on and so on, they don't bother me. And the Jewish people took that same posture. They're not coming after me, but the bottom line is they ultimately did. And you know, right. The truth of the matter is, what people don't realize, and many of these younger people in America today, is that this is about the war that Israel is fighting is not just for their survival, it's for the survival of the Western world and the principles of freedom that have been granted to us. Because in that, in the mind of the Islamic theology and philosophy, I would call it more than theology, America has no right to exist, and neither does Israel.
Mm, it's just unbelievable. Well, today, Gary, as you know, is the anniversary, Israel's Independence Day, May 14th, 1948. So 76 years old. Yep. Now, right. As Jesus said, and this is a verse that can be it's debated as to what it means, but he says, now learn the parable from the fig tree. Some have said the fig tree is Israel. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. So, Gary, unpack that for us. What do you think that means?
Well, real quickly, Jeff, here's the issue. Either Jesus is speaking emphatically concerning the first generation, and if he was, then he was speaking to the people in his presence, and that would mean that they would see the return of Jesus. However, if he's using the fig tree, speaking symbolically, which he does, of course, numerous times in Scripture, Jesus refers to, for example, Hosea 9:8 talks about it. There are several places Zechariah mentions it, about Israel being his fig tree. And if he's speaking metaphorically of the fig tree, and that fig tree applies to the nation of Israel, then he's talking about a time in the foreknowledge of God, who knew that Israel would be banished from their land in 70 A.D. and scattered into the nations of the world. God knew that 1,878 years would pass before Israel would be returned to their land in May of 1948 and become a nation again. And that was the rebirth, if you please, of the fig tree. The fig tree came to life again in 1948. And if our listeners would go and read Ezekiel chapters 37, chapter 37 through 39, but primarily focus on 37, they would see that God gave Ezekiel a vision of the valley of dry, dead, lifeless bones and how they would come back to life, and that God would breathe the breath of life into them and they would stand up on their feet. And it says, and the whole house of Israel. That was the rebirth of the fig tree in 1948. And that simply means that the generation, because it could not have been that first generation, because, again, Jesus would have had to return to that group of people. He did not. So we are able to understand that this is a metaphorical use of the fig tree. We've seen the life of the fig tree reborn in 1948, and now the promise of God is that this generation, this genea is a Greek word mentioned there, used there for generation, and it's a time period. And some have identified the time period of 35 or 40 years and various different definitions. But if we go back to the Word of God, we find in Genesis 15 that God defines a generation as 100 years. Now, that is not to put a date on the coming of Jesus, because no man knows the day nor the hour, but it does position us in the terminal generation, and that's where we are. And I want to say this to our believing friends who are listening to your broadcast today, we, the body of Christ, need to wake up desperately and begin to pray as the early believers prayed, and that is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, today, as I travel across America speaking on the subject of biblical prophecy and the events that are taking place in our world today, my latest book is called The Event, The Dream of World Peace Realized. I write about a lot of these things, but as I travel and speak and interact with people, one of the things that I find is so many believers are more interested in their own personal quality of life and getting to do what they want to do than they are about praying that Jesus Christ would come and deliver this sin-sick world, that he would take us home to the Father's house, and that his will would be done and accomplished on this earth. Today it seems that the majority no longer are interested in this subject. And I blame the preachers, many preachers across America, for not preaching and teaching the inerrant Word of God and encouraging people to be people who not only serve the Lord and live for the Lord, but pray that soon He will come.
Amen. Amen. Gary, we just have about 30 seconds. How can people connect with you?
Well, Discovery Missions International is my personal ministry, my 501c3 ministry. And by the way, Jeff, we're all over. I have series on YouTube. All I have to do is just Google Gary Frazier. It'll come up. And then, of course, they can order my books either from our ministry or from Amazon as well. But more
Amen.
Importantly than my
books.
Well,
that's been Gary Frazier. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shree will be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shree.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here. We were talking to Gary Frazier about Israel and what's going on with all the anti-Semitism sweeping across the country, across college campuses, and across the world. Today is Israel's Day of Independence, May 14th, 1948. So they're 76 years old, and we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we're seeing Bible prophecy unfold before our eyes, and it is exciting on one side, it is horrifying on the other side, because a tribulation period is coming, a one world leader is coming, and it is going to be a time like no other, known as the Day of the Lord, a day of trembling, a day of destruction. But the good news, I believe that the Lord comes and takes us out of here at the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we want to switch gears right now and talk about a program from 2 Timothy chapter 2 called Men of Honor. 2 Timothy 2, Paul tells Timothy, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So the program based on 2 Timothy 2:2 is called Men of Honor. It's an 8-week program designed to teach young boys from the ages of 7 to 17 how to be godly men. And it's a program sponsored by American Family Association. And to tell us more about it is Wesley Wildman. Wesley, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me on, and thank you for the opportunity to let our audience know about the program. Now, the good news is over time, we have not only our Men of Honor program on at our headquarters for those that are within driving distance of AFA, but we also have the curriculum. So what we discuss today, we would like to invite you to do participate in on campus this summer during June 4th through July 2nd, every Tuesday afternoon. But if you can't make it and you'd like to be to host Men of Honor in your community or at your church, you can go to afa.net, and there we have the curriculum there at our resource center. So,
well, now, Wesley, this curriculum, it teaches young men, it teaches them basics on the Word of God and then basic life skills. So it's more than just a Bible study, isn't it?
It sure is. As having grown up and just, now obviously not perfect, but a really good biblical sound home, I was able to experience what it meant to have a godly man in my life, and not just my dad, which was the most influential, Tim Wildman, my dad, but also my granddads, on both sides. I also had godly men at my church. I just had, in each phase of my life, each area, I had such godly men, and I realized how important and how impactful that was in the life decisions that I made as I grew into it, from a child to a young adult into full adulthood. And so I know how important that is for me, and I'm seeing the opposite of that for a lot of the country. I've said before that there's a lot of issues that, well, obviously a lot of issues that we cover at AFA, but some of the, almost all of them at some point can be driven back to the breakdown of the family. And so this program helps come alongside young men, most of which, not all, but most of which are coming from a broken home, And so what we try to do is do the best we can with the time that we have to be the godly father figure to them. And so to your point, it goes beyond just the scriptures, which is the most important part, and it's our foundation to what we do. But we also fellowship around food, and we have games such as cornhole and basketball, and we even play some flag football and things like that. But an afternoon would look like this. So if you got the curriculum, you will see a similar flow of events for the afternoon. So we'd meet, we'd pray first, we would eat pizza or some type of food, something easy, and then we would go to our Bible study time where we have specific topics. The first one is forgiveness and the gospel. And so we'll have someone come in from outside or inside AFA sometimes, and it'd either be a pastor, a youth pastor, or sometimes it's a lay person who's a very good Bible teacher. And they'll come in, teach a topic. We'll have a few minutes of discussion time. Then the second half of the evening, we'll learn some type of a skill of some kind, whether it's how to fill out a job resume, yard maintenance, car maintenance. Last year we added one in there. We took one out and put a new one in just for that summer, and that was gun safety. So we had a couple of police officers come in and a couple of trained people with firearms, and they said, hey, this is a firearm, this is what it's used for, blah blah blah, and they walk you through the whole gun safety. So it's just a wonderful thing. It's a full discipleship course. In addition to scriptures, you're learning. My mom comes in at the end of the summer, the last one, the meeting before graduation. My mom will come in and she'll teach 45 minutes on etiquette, just how to be a young man.
So how to have manners.
Yeah, manners.
That's good. Okay, so how long do y'all meet, Wesley?
Yes, sir. We meet.
I know it's 8 weeks, but it's what, like a 2-hour meeting?
That's right. So we meet from 5:30 to 7:30. We've done 6 to 7:30, but that just doesn't. We've found over the years that just didn't give us enough time at the eating part and the fellowship part. That obviously, good food and fellowship, it goes a long ways. Obviously, we want to have the classroom time and that we want to do the Bible study, but there's so much ministry that takes place over food, and so we added a little more time this summer. So the good news about the curriculum. Obviously, there's been several people that wanted to come but couldn't come because they live across, different parts of the country. So we put everything into great detail into the 16-page curriculum so that people can follow. But because it's a curriculum like this, and if you were to print it off and take it to your church or your community, you can modify it and adjust it, based on your time and where and the resources you have there. So it may be that 6 to 7:30 best fits your area, but for us here in Tupelo at our headquarters, it's 5:30 to 7:30.
Now, Wesley, this was something that was developed by American Family Association.
Myself. I don't want to take a lot of credit here because I had a lot of help as far as putting the resources together. But it was my baby. It's something that was a burden on my heart many years ago to seeing all the statistics that we know of the fatherlessness, the percentage of them going to prison, dropping out of high school, getting divorced, being a multi-generation of broken families. All of that really was heavy in my heart. And I know I can't, none of us as Christians can fix all these problems, but we can start somewhere. And if we, I was really listening to the Lord and praying, Lord, what can we do? And then realizing that it can start with one boy, if we could get one boy here and impact one boy for the summer, then that would be worth every bit of it. Obviously, the more the better, but in some cases, these one-on-one meetings, these one-on-one discipleship opportunities can really impact and turn someone's life around, and that's what we want to do. And furthermore, it's a great example of AFA taking its national ministry and bringing it down to a local community. We get our news out there. We get our resources out there nationally. But we do encourage, and we always have encouraged, that living local is going to be the most impactful for the longer amount of time. And so we're doing it right here in Tupelo. We're meeting together this summer with around 30 young men, most of which, not all, but most of which come from a broken family. And we're going to try our best here at AFA to disciple them. But it's something that God put on my heart, and I've been to a couple other ministries very similar to this, and so I took a lot of their ideas over the summers as I worked in college and as a young adult.
Well, you know, one of the things I remember from men's fraternity, Robert Lewis, that did men's fraternity in the late 90s, early 2000s, he talked about with his dad. He said, my dad never taught me how to change the oil. I mean, we don't really do that today, sure. but back then they did. He right. said, I didn't know about how to change a tire. I didn't know how to, you know, do the yard. He said, my dad didn't teach me things. Mm-hmm. So I felt like a doofus, his word. Sure. I felt like a doofus. And it made me angry inside because it's like, Dad, why didn't you teach me this? And that's one of the things that I really picked up on, Wesley, was not only this is not just a Bible study, although that is critical to the piece, but it is a life skill that you're teaching these guys that their dads should teach them. But if their dad's not there their dad's there, but he's not really there, like Robert Lewis's dad, they're not learning any of these things.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And speaking about not learning these types of things, one of the most important classes that we offer toward the end is the one I mentioned about my mom, about learning manners and etiquette, because those are skills that go far beyond any particular occupation. So that applies everywhere. Whereas there may be some weeks that we cover something that may be a little bit more specific. We've had, and the good news about, like I said, the curriculum, you can modify it. So from year to year, we have the ones that we recommend. There's some that are not in here that we've done. Like, we've had someone come in who is a fitness guy. He's a friend of mine. He does fitness here in town, and he's got just a handful of ways that you can remain, you can take care of your body and be fit. They're right at your house, not even having to leave. And so a lot of these kids that come, they don't have someone watching them over the summertime, so they have a lot of freedom, and they have and not a lot of guidelines or boundaries. So having something like this over the summer provide some structure to their life. But the one my mom does about manners is something that the boys always look forward to, and that is the most lowest, that's the one of the lowest hanging fruits of classes that we offer.
Well, you know, those things used to be taught in high school. Mm-hmm. They had auto mechanics, you had wood shop, you had these classes. I don't know if they still do that anymore, but then kids were taught manners. Mm-hmm. And they're not taught that anymore, and we have a disaster on our hands. Yes. in the younger generation. So what kind of feedback do you get, Wesley, from young men that go through this program?
It's interesting. Obviously, there's different backgrounds from different kids that come. There's, I would probably say, about a third or maybe half of them the first week or two, they're really shy and they don't talk. They just kind of sit there and kind of not much to say. But then after about week three, you can start seeing all of the boys starting to interact more. There's more questions. There's more curiosity of, well, why are we talking about this? And and there's also more engagement. And so a part of the curriculum is at the end, I get with the table counselors, and we give out rewards. Now, you're not. There's no consequences for not participating in the notes or in the participation award. We give out three awards. One is for taking good notes. We encourage the boys to take good notes. Number two, we give out an award for participation, like how engaged are you in the life skills and the Bible time. And then third, we give out one for memorizing the scripture. So when we give these out at the end, there's no consequences for not doing those three things, but we encourage people to. So we have seen the boys over the summer begin to interact and start find a little bit of healthy competition in these areas, and just it's just a really wonderful thing. A handful of them, as I still stay in touch with from summer to summer and from year to year through text message, occasionally go get lunch and just catching up with them and seeing where they are in their life. And it's very, very, very impactful for the boys that are able to come, and we're able to do it here locally right at our headquarters in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Okay, so you have about 30 boys that participate, is that right?
That's an average number from year to year. Some we've had as high as 40, we've had as low as 20, but we have just the right amount of staff that volunteers here at AFA that has the same passion that I have about helping disciple young men, particularly without dads. And so that's about the number we have locally.
So, Wesley, if you have 30 participants, how many adults helpers do you need to make it work?
That's a good question. In the curriculum, we recommend one teacher for about every 6 to 7 boys. That's how we do that. And we have I call them table counselors. In the curriculum, if you're wanting to do it locally in your hometown, in the curriculum, it's as detailed as you want to read, but it's as simple as you want to read, too. So I even give you a pretty hard recommendation on what you need to tell your table counselors who are volunteering, what you expect from them and what they can expect, how they can help, like very, very specifically. And so it's a really, really good curriculum. For many years there, Jeff, if you've never procrastinated, for many years I have shared my PDF Word doc for people. And then it wasn't until last year that I actually got the AFA team to put this in a curriculum. So it's a lot better now when people ask me, can you share that with us? We'd like to try that. Could it?
Yeah.
It was, I was having to send my Word doc and delete and edit. And cause you know how you do your sermons. A lot of times your sermon outline makes sense to you, but if somebody were to pick it up, it wouldn't make much sense. Yeah. But I'm very, very, very thankful for the AFA graphic design team, the IT team, the STAN team. They all came together and they helped me get this on into a curriculum so that we can do it here locally. And for those that can't participate here, they can have it in a curriculum. So the two locations I'll give people, if you live within drive distance, we've had people drive as far as an hour to be a part of this in the summer. You can go to afa.net/events, register there. All the details are there, afa.net/events, if you're local, or go to resource.afa.net, type in Men of Honor, and it'll pull up there, and it's completely free to download.
Amen. Well, Wesley, I think this is a great program, and encourage our listeners to consider that. Prayerfully consider doing something this magnitude this summer, and you can just get this program and start putting it into place and making a difference in the lives of young men. Well, Wesley, thanks, my friend. I appreciate you, and may God bless the ministry this summer to these kids.
Amen. Thank you for the opportunity. May the Lord bless your program.
Thank you. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be opening the phone lines to take your calls. 888, you know the number. I've gone blank on it, but it's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And take your calls if you have a question about Israel, if you have a question about this program, Men of Honor, or if you just have a question about the Bible or the Christian life. I'd love to hear from you. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. The phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, we've been talking today about Israel, and we got an update from Gary Frazier. What's going on in Israel, and why is the anti-Semitism seeming to rise around the nation, around the world? It all fits in with biblical prophecy. The whole world can be against Israel. As Benjamin Netanyahu said, hey, we're going to defend ourselves even if everyone is against us, because they are fighting a just war in dealing with Hamas. Hamas is unspeakably evil, and everything in Islam is satanic. That is the God of Islam, Allah, is not the God of the Bible. And that is a false god, and that is the fingerprints of the devil are all over Islam. That's what does it do? It's smash mouth religion. It's believe or die. It's been that way since its founding by Muhammad in the 600s AD. And so we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we stand with Israel because God stands with Israel. But if you have a question about Israel, if you have a question about the curriculum Men of Honor that Wesley Wildman put together some years ago, and how you can get that going in your church, especially this summer, to impact young boys between the ages of 7 and 17, I think that would be great. And so we will go to the phone lines right now. We have Paula on the line from Virginia. Paula, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for sharing your gift of clear biblical presentation to us.
Thank
you. Appreciate it.
Very kind.
My question is, we, in searching for a church, attended a local church, and they refuse communion to a non-member,
right?
Even if you're a Christian. Is that biblical?
Good question. We don't do that. I feel like communion is for the body of Christ, and if you're a believer, you're part of the body of Christ. Some churches, they have that closed communion. It's only for them, and if you're not part of their fellowship, if you're not a member of their church, then they ask you to not participate. Yeah, I don't see that as being what Scripture teaches. I think Scripture teaches, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is very clear about making sure your heart is right when you take the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is not for unbelievers. It's for believers. And it's not for believers who are out of fellowship with God, because it is so sacred. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim his death until he comes. And so we can't take the elements in an unworthy manner. But you're definitely not in an unworthy manner if you're not part of that church. You're just, you may be visiting, you may be checking out churches. The Lord may be leading you potentially to that church. But, I would think that that is not, obviously not a deal breaker if some churches have that strong stand. But I don't see that in Scripture that a church is supposed to say, this is just for our community and our membership.
Saw it as you did, and I just thought I was missing something in God's word.
So. No, I think sometimes that can be, just the church's prerogative, that it's not necessarily wrong and sinful. It just seems to me the Bible doesn't teach that. If the Apostle Paul came to your church, well, you're not a member, Paul, so you can't have the Lord's Supper with us. That doesn't seem to fit. So.
And we pose that to the pastor because his father is a pastor. So even though his father isn't a member of the son's church, he would have been able to take communion.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that
it was
just
odd.
Seems strange. And it seems, the Lord's Supper is a time of remembering. It's a time of thanking God. It's a time of celebrating deliverance through the cross and through the blood of Jesus, and to remember that he's coming back again. And so we proclaim his death until he comes. And so it is a time for Christians, for all believers. And so now we do something, Paula, on Christmas Eve. We have a big candlelight Lord's Supper service, but I put the burden on the people. I said, listen, here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. you are eating judgment to yourself if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus and you're not right with him. But that's available to everybody. You can get your heart right with him right now. But if you are unwilling to do that, then don't take the Lord's Supper, because you eat judgment to yourself, as the scripture says. So it is something very, very sacred, very special to God, and it needs to be very special to us. But I appreciate you. Go ahead.
That's just why it hurt that we couldn't participate. So I appreciate your point of view on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Paula. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for your kind comments. 888-589-8840. Let me talk to you about the front page of The Stand, the American Family Association magazine. If you don't get The Stand, I would encourage you to sign up for it. You can get it online, or you can get it mailed to you. It is a great, great publication. It has just tremendous stuff in it. I remember the first time I got a copy of this, and you get a lot of things from different ministries and stuff, and you're like, I'll just kind of thumb through it. And I found myself really looking through this closely and just said, this is a great magazine. Well, on the cover of May's issue, it has a man in a suit looking down, and the title is, Are Exhausted Pulpits? Why Are So Many Leaving the Pastorate, and What Can We Do to Help? Well, I have a heart for pastors, and I feel for guys that are really struggling. And, when people go through difficulties at church, it is hard on the pastor. My pastor told me, years ago, Dr. DeMond Shook, he said, hey, in the minds of a church member, there are men, there are women, and there are pastors. It's like you're a different category of being. And so people don't seem to think twice about going off on you if they're upset about something. And, I remember DeMond told me one time, he said one of the members of the church had gone off on him about something he didn't like. And DeMond said, I wouldn't talk to my dog the way this guy was talking to me. And then he acts like it should be no big deal. I see him, a week later, hey, DeMond, how are you doing? And it's like, well, I'm still bleeding from the verbal lashing you gave me. And so he said, it can be very, very difficult. So I feel for pastors who are struggling. And I just want to encourage you to pray for your pastor, because you may think being a pastor is easy. Listen, I've been out in the business world and worked, sold chemicals for an alkylchemical company. Before that, I sold for Waste Management Incorporated. I know what it's like to be out in the pew and have to work like that and be, in a secular job and then in a sacred job. Anything that we do is sacred if we do it for the Lord, but you know what I mean. And they're very, very different. And it is hard to be a pastor. And it can be a thankless job. It can be a difficult job. And so pray for your pastor. He needs your prayers. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thanks. On this radio network, I hear a lot about Trail Life USA, which is like a similar to the Boy Scouts.
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, growing up in the Boy Scouts, I was so preoccupied. I didn't have time to listen to the people telling me that they were so sorry that I was growing up in a single mother family. I was learning too much. I was too busy doing activities during the summer, like you say, without a lot of boundaries and restrictions in the summertime. A young man has an eager mind, willing to learn. In my case, anyway, I guess now they just want to sit behind the PlayStation or the on a Call of Duty. I know some young guys now, they just like to do that, interact online and play games and shoot each other. They're not getting out there into the real world and learning valuable, important skills like car mechanics, like woodworking, like machining and welding and things like that that will take them off into their adult life and, provide responsibility for them and their families. I mean, what do you think? Is it possible that we could take back the Boy Scouts and flip them or maybe exchange Trail Life USA and then take the name back and bring back the original agenda. For 100 years, for over 100 years, the Boy Scouts were a very necessary part of a young guy's life. And I don't know how this thing got attacked. I mean, we know that the enemy attacks us, mm-hmm. but this is a very vital, to me, in my life, this is a very vital, important aspect of growing up. And I can't see where things are going to go without the Boy Scouts or something similar.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. But I think trail life is the alternative. I think it is very similar, and it's biblical, and it's sound, and it's holding to biblical morality. I think the Boy Scouts are just gone. With their recent, hey, we're not even to take boy out of the name. We're just Scouting USA or Scouting America, whatever it's called, you know, and it's just open to anybody. And what the CEO said, we want you to come here and be comfortable being your own true self or whatever, something along those lines. It's like, what in the world is that? That's just insane. And so we've had Boy Scouts at our church for many, many years, and it's made a big impact. And now it's just on fumes. We're able to still hold to biblical teaching, but you know, it's just a matter of time before the national organization puts pressure and says you have to do it this way, or you have to teach this curriculum, or what have you. And so that's a sinking ship. And most of the guys that have been through it are they're just sickened by what they're seeing, because they've taken a once great organization and have just destroyed it. And that's what liberalism does. It destroys. It doesn't build anything up. It just destroys. And that's what the progressives wanted to do. They wanted to take down the Boy Scouts, and they would love to ultimately take down the church. And so we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I appreciate that, Ron. Appreciate your comments. And I would encourage people to look at Trail Life and consider going that route, because that is a strong biblical alternative to the Boy Scouts. Well, we have Nancy on the line from West Virginia. Nancy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I appreciate your show. But anyway, I'm calling about the question of the word anti-Semitism, and they made the bill, you know, the Anti-Semitism Act and whatever. And I'm thinking, well, the Hamas people, the people of Gaza are Arabs, and the Arabs are from Ishmael, and Ishmael is from Abraham, and the Israelites are from Abraham. Aren't they all Semites? And how can they use this wording against us to bite us one day if we have anything to say against, you know, the people of Gaza, which they already do, because those people are Semitic also. I mean, I know they're mixed up. I know they're mixed up, but they're mixed up with the Arabs, and they call themselves Arabs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, so you have the break. So I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, not Ishmael, the God of Jacob, not Esau. And so there's that break in there. And so all the 12 tribes of Israel come from Jacob, which is, you know, it's a fork in the tree there from Abraham. And so Abraham to Ishmael. Ishmael's the father of all the Arabs. And Isaac is the father of Jacob, who is the father of all the Jews. And so that would be the difference. I see them coming, you know, all coming from Shem, if you keep backing it up. But, you know, eventually everything, you keep backing it up, and it all comes from Noah, and it all comes from Adam, because Adam and Eve were the, you know, we were all related to them. And so, yeah, it's just, you know, it's this, this age-old hatred between Ishmael and his descendants and the descendants of Jacob. And it's the devil just working hard to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And it is sickening. I mean, anti-Semitism is to the discrimination and hostility and prejudice toward the Jews. And we're seeing that, and we're going to see it proliferate as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ. Satan hates the Jewish nation because God has made promises to the Jews. The Jews are God's chosen people. Chosen for what? Chosen to be his witness in this world. And God has promises he's made to Israel, and those promises will come to pass because God always keeps his word. So thanks, Nancy, for calling in. Al, I'm sorry we didn't have time to get to you, but I'll call in another time, and I'll make sure to take your call. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. You can reach me at Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org or on Twitter, which is now called X, at Jeff Shreve, JeffShreve. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things he's done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.